On your bulletin cover this morning, you should see some mustard seeds. Go on, check. You see them? A few have probably fallen off and found their way from the office down the hall and scattered on this floor. But I hope that by the end of my sermon, you'll understand why that might be just the most important thing that could happen today. I want you to be aware that holding these seeds, looking at the smallness of them, might in fact represent the biggest possibility of who we are as children of God here in our little corner of the vineyard of the kingdom of God. This morning we hear Jesus once again offering the kingdom of God parables. Parables surely must have been one of Jesus' favorite ways to teach because he uses them a lot. But sometimes when I'm reading them and preparing for sermons, I think, really, Jesus? Could you have chosen another pedagogical tool? Because I'm just not so sure about this parable thing. What exactly is a parable anyway? Well, a parable is not a fable. A fable is a primarily didactic tool using a clever story to provide a particular insight or a moral lesson. Fables always end with some good advice or practical lesson. A parable is something akin to pedagogical whiplash for all intents and purposes, something that is intended to kind of slap us upside the head and confront us as the listener with some kind of full veracity of a teaching that we always don't quite understand. I think that a parable offers a deep truth, whether we get it or not, first time out the gate. But once we do, once we even understand just even a little bit, it always seems to challenge the status quo, and it always seems to invite us into changing in some significant and particular way. So I either hate or love to tell you, my friends, that this morning with two parables, we have some pretty deep stuff. And you can bet that whenever Jesus starts teaching in parables, he's advising that we listen at our own risk, lest we end up being changed. And this morning we have not one, but two. So here goes, strap in. Our first kingdom parable is sometimes read as a teaching about cultivating faith, as it simply appears and grows in our lives, never really knowing how. There is truth and wonder in this understanding, but frankly, nothing really confronts me upside the head with that kind of reading of this parable. On the other hand, seed randomly scattered and then growing without our assistance might shine a new light on the unwieldy, uncontrollable, random, pervasive, and yes, invasive nature of the coming of the kingdom of God. Now that could shake me up a bit. You see, I'm a planner. I like color coding things. I love my day timer. And I would like to think that my efforts to be organized and well-planned matter in matters of faith. But maybe kingdom faith is more like falling in love. Yesterday in Kalamazoo, I stood in a garden with two people who had fallen in love. And they were making their vows to each other. And I couldn't help but think as I finished this sermon last night, that's some kingdom work, making a pledge to another person about an unknown future. It's kind of what we're about in a community of faith, isn't it? Now, I don't need Kim to be worried. I'm not going to marry all of you. But I would suggest that we are pledging our future in our faith in an unknown future. Our second kingdom parable is no less gentle in intent. Again, some read this parable about the mustard seed and talk about it more like a fable, reducing the lesson to a maxim such as, great things have little beginnings. I think a more progressive reading of Jesus's don't hold back powerful parable possibility goes something like this. Like it or not, ready or not, understandable or not, feeling worthy or not, the kingdom of God is coming, and you can do absolutely, he might chuckle here, nothing to stop it. You see, we can have our committees, we can do our surveys, we can take votes, we can plan events, worship, service projects, do all the good things that we want to do. Or not. Because if it's true, the kingdom is going to crash in on us, invade into our every corner of our perfectly planned and organized lives, like it or not, and everyone, yes, Jesus says, everyone is going to be welcome. Yep, I think that wouldn't go over very easily in some settings. But I think that's exactly what is going on here. And by here, I mean the Gospel of Mark here. And more specifically, I mean here at Trinity Toledo, here. To begin with, when we hear mustard seed in Jesus' teaching, we might do better to think of some equivalent modern-day gardener's nightmare, like, well, dandelions, or crabgrass, or our favorite at our house, poison oak. Think of that in place of mustard seed. Only then does some of the radical power of what Jesus is trying to do pop up and lead us towards the kingdom of God. When you think of the mustard seed and those things that happen in our lives that are sometimes not so desirable, then we can hear Jesus is suggesting that the kingdom of God is wildly invasive and overpowering and sometimes very upsetting to the status quo and our perfectly manicured lawns, gardens, and, well, lives, for that matter. You see, there is a wildness and a chaotic nature to this kingdom presence thing. There is both the gift of freedom and the need for surrender as we do kingdom work. The freedom and surrender are both found in learning to trust beyond our natural inclinations to do so. Embracing the gift of freedom and the need for surrender is challenging for me at times, both as a leader of a spiritual community and as a child of God. Sometimes it just feels like free-falling. The ultimate test of that game we've played when you've leaned back and a bunch of people are going to catch you. I was never very good at that game. So here we are this morning, faithful followers of Christ, ready and open and desirous of living lives that are formed and transformed in such a way that the kingdom of God is not just a nice concept, but maybe who we are right now. So what does that look like? I want you to look at your seeds again for just a minute. I want to spend these last few minutes naming some of the seeds that we have been given to scatter here in this community. And as I name each one of these seeds, I invite us to entertain that any or all of these at any time might go wild, and might go wildly out of control, for God's sake. Any or all of these at any time might disquiet or disturb or distract or even disappoint some of us, disrupting our norms or, our favorite Episcopal phrase, the way we've always done it. Bigger chuckle from the crowd. Okay. And any or all of these kingdom seeds at any time might irritate or scare or startle us, because they will affect each of us and invite us into change. I just want to give you a visual. I'm a very clear and clean writer. And this morning, can you see this? Can you see all this? as I started, I couldn't stop. Here are all my kingdom seeds. It's going to take a minute, but I couldn't leave any out. There's more, but I just kept listing them. This is such an exciting time. Here we go. I'll try not to take too long. We're going to have a homeless Jesus out front, and that's a kingdom seed. Every time we serve lunch at St. Paul's Community Center. Week after next, we got a Syrian refugee music camp happening here. We're developing a deeper understanding of who we are with our building partners. We're going to participate in Gay Pride in August. We've started this past month hosting the Universalist Orthodox Church in the chapel on Sunday afternoons. Once a month on Saturdays, we have Bible studies. We've opened our doors to the Thursday Art Loop. We're eating together on Sunday mornings. Our worship continues to evolve. We've started our plannings for a fall series of pop-up dinners where we're going to invite people to eat together. Every Wednesday, right up here, we have a midweek Eucharist. Every weekday in our basement is a 12-step AA meeting. Every Sunday, Alma is sitting in that nursery, welcome to be God's love to our littlest ones. We're starting a pastoral care program called Befrienders that you'll hear more about in the fall, a way to connect and listen deeply. Every Sunday, we have healing ministry back here in the corner. We have home communion and hospital visits. Most Sundays, Peggy has cards, pastoral cards here, where we sign and send to those who are in need of extra love. Every conversation and group gathering that we have on Sunday after church, and yes, even that newly placed Gay Pride flag, all of those things are kingdom seeds. Each is a seed of God's love because they are far more than descriptions of ministry here at Trinity. Each of them has the potential to find itself invasively spreading out in a heartbeat. Each is a seed of God's love ready to burst out either because of or maybe even in spite of our own efforts. They are kingdom seeds because they have the power to change us and transform our lives if we embrace the freedom of surrendering to God's will. In the end, my prayer for us this morning is one of profound courage and humility. We are a community saturated with potential for love. What I want for us is to find paths together into kingdom work that will pierce and infiltrate our carefully crafted need to think it all out before we act on anything. You see, I dream of the day that one of us comes to report that while standing in line at Bleak House or Black Kite or Rust Belt Coffee, they overheard someone talking about Trinity. And they heard that person say something like this: "Yeah, I've met some pretty crazy people from that Trinity church. One of them told me that she had stopped going to church years ago. But then someone invited her, after she had a terrible tragedy in her life, invited her to come to a Sunday afternoon concert. And from there, she decided to try church. And she hasn't left since. I don't know exactly what they believe there either, but another friend of mine, who is Muslim, told me that her daughter and their Jewish neighbor's son participate in some kind of weekly program making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that feed people with brown bags on Saturday mornings. I guess they just let anybody go to that church. And it's also hard to figure out just who they cater to. They have all kinds of people, young and old, and they dress in all different kinds of ways and, well, frankly, they don't really even look like church people, if you know what I mean. And then, the last thing that happened to me was the other day, I was driving down Adam Street with my daughter and my son in the back of the car, and they said, "Hey, that's that church with the statue of a homeless man lying on the front bench. Can we go there and see what that's about?" So I guess I'll take them. I mean, how bad could it be? It's not like going to church could really make that much of a difference or really change your life, right? And bam, there it is. There's that moment. There's that parable that Jesus wants us to hear. May we be that parable. May we who come here week after week tend the soil for God, so that God through us can do the work of confronting and confounding, comforting and consoling all who enter this place. May we and the ministries that we serve be kingdom seeds, doing our very small but important part, and trusting in a God who loves us beyond measure to do the rest. Lord of the misfit, whose prophets came like weeds to an ordered garden, shaking all that deadens your love, give us faith in your kingdom's growth, unruly and exuberant, and let it be a shelter wide enough for all. Through Jesus Christ, our teacher. Amen. May it be so.